begin his prayer, he said, I thank God for the honor and privilege we have of being here. And it truly is, as you visit people that are shut in, I found that's one thing that they always mention is they really miss being here among us and having this honor, truly an honor and privilege to worship our God. My remarks this evening are going to be come from thoughts from a book I read during the book reading challenge that Jerry coordinates. It's called Beyond the Sunset by Perry Cotham. And it's 400 pages, and I would encourage you, if you're interested in what happens at death and what happens beyond this life, and going through that. I started 10 years ago. I bought the book of Pre-Hardman Lectureship, and Perry signed it for me. He was 96 when he wrote this. And but I started through it once and then couldn't keep going, so the challenge made me finish it. There's two thoughts I'm going to be centering on, but just a word about Brother Perry Cotham. He passed away in 2013 at the age of 101. And he was had preached sermons past his 100th birthday. And he was a roommate and classmate with Adrian Doran, who many of us have known over the years and has spoken here. He used to be president of Morehead State University. And they were from the same county in Kentucky. And both of them were faithful gospel preachers. And Brother Doran has a general endorsement of him in here. But he had passed way before this book was written. So I think he'd been used previously. The two thoughts I wanted us to think about is, the first is the value of the soul. Imagine, if you would, a wife coming out to her husband who is standing in the deck, and she says, honey, I think I'm having a heart attack. Can you take me to the emergency room? He says, if you wouldn't mind, I've got 4 more hours and I can finish this staining, and then I'll be glad to take you if that'd be okay. Now, what do you think his wife's reaction would be, and how do you think she would feel about the comparison of value between she and the work he's doing on the house? Take another scene where a mother is out planting flowers around the house, and the little girl comes out, it's 2 o'clock, and she says, Mommy, I haven't had anything to eat all day. Could you fix me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And he said, you can wait. I'll be in before dark and fix that for you. So the little girl, what do you think mother thinks is most important? Those are kind of ridiculous stories, because in normal families, we love our family above everything else, no matter what we had. If we had a $5 million mansion, we wouldn't care if it burned to the ground as long as our family was okay and not in it. In an analogous way, our soul, which is more valuable than anything, dwells in a house, a body, but most of us spend much, much more time taking care of that body than we do taking care of the soul that dwells within us. So in a way, our body's like the house, and our soul's like the family we value that's living in that house. Matthew 16, verse 26, for what will it profit for man if he gain the whole world and forfeit or lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in return for his soul? A lot of times, over the years, people, and sometimes maybe in us, we've traded our soul for a lot less than everything that's in the world. Sometimes it's for a job, sometimes it's for some sort of honor or recognition or some sort of accolades that we're going to be able to accomplish something, but we neglect the internal portion. This is the observation Brother Cotham made that I have held on to and shared with some of you. He said, instead of saying we have a soul as if we are the body and we have a soul, he said we should be saying, we are the soul. The soul is an important part of us. And say, I am a soul who happens to dwell in this body. So maybe when someone asks you how you're doing, say, my body's not doing very well today, but I'm doing fine. Because the condition of the house that you're living in may not be the best, but the soul is where our perspective should be. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 18 says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So we recognize, if we've been around very long, this outward person is deteriorating, we're wasting away, but hopefully the internal portion of us, our soul is being renewed day by day. But so by the time we arrive to whatever age we is, when we pass away 80, 90, or 100 years old, if we are fortunate to live that long, our body may be completely worn out. Ourselves, our soul, should be in the best condition of your existence. transient things that are going to not last long, things that come to an end shortly, things that are impermanent. But eternal things is what we're looking for. The things that are not seen, the things that are eternal will last forever. By observing ourselves as well as those around us, we know we are wasting away. Once we reach a certain age, whether we want to recognize it or not, we are figure out we're wearing out, and the time of our sojourn on this earth is approaching its end. We trust during that period that we've been allowed to be on this earth that we have truly renewed our soul regularly and made it prepared for eternity. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8 said, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we, that is the soul, are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we, that is our soul, would rather be away from the body and at home with God. So while we're here on this earth, our soul is not in proximity to God in the sense of being living with him, even though Christ dwells with us. But that's the part that we're living with on this earth. So we're actually away from God. Our soul is and wants to be there, and our desire is to be at home with God, or should be. So we are a soul living in a temporary structure, a body which is wasting away, and our effort, time, and resources should be focused on the eternal soul rather than on the transient decaying housing in which it resides while on this earth. The second thought regards Hades, and as he talks about, as most of his focus of his book is on our death and what happens afterwards, Hades, of course, is the home of the disembodied souls. It's where everyone that dies will go. Not that we're all in one group, because there is a division. Christ mentioned to the repentant sinner on the cross when he was crucified, the day I will be with you in paradise. Remember the rich man, Lazarus, when the rich man was in torment, but Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom or paradise. Torment is also called Tartarus. We're there, whoever, when we die, to wait for the final judgment. Now, I'm going to make an observation in this next part of the section. If you listen carefully, if something you hadn't heard before, please talk to me if you have thoughts about it, because it's a question I've had for a long time. The question I've had, if the division has already occurred when you pass away, the decision is made whether you're going to be in paradise or in torment, what is the purpose of the final judgment? Because the decision is already made. I've heard explanations given. Some of them are quite reasonable. One is there are people still living on earth that has not yet passed away that need to be judged. Others have said that those, if you're in the condition of being paradise or in Hades or in a torment, at the final judgment, it'll be explained to you why you're there. But we know that once you leave this life and that division is made, your final destiny is either heaven or hell. It will not change after our departure from this life. I thought I found most interesting in Brother Cotham's writing was that even though one dies, the impact of his or her work on the earth continues. And so always in my analytical mind, I always think that as soon as you hit death, that's the end of your impact and influence on your eternal well-being. Well, your influence has not left yet. The person may have done wonderful works for the Lord, will impact generation upon generation as men and women are lived faithful lives as Christians. On the other hand, there are those wicked people who will influence people for generations and generations that will have an impact even beyond their life upon this earth. We often even hear in our classes refer to men who have taught false doctrine hundreds of years ago that is still impacting people in error today. Romans 2, verse 6 and 8 says, He will render to each one according to his works, those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. He will give them eternal life, but those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. So those that are obedient to God on this earth will receive eternal life. Those who are not will receive eternal damnation. So even after our death, the story of our life and its impact is not really completed until the final judgment. I believe the scriptures indicate there are degrees of reward and punishment in eternity. Not that our destination is going to change from when we leave this life, but the final impact, all the facts may not be in until the final judgment as to what impact we actually had from our having lived on the earth, whether it be for good or for bad. Our assignment will still be in those realms in which we were placed at death, But at the final judgment, there may be more things come in that will impact us as well, something we could not change, but we left this life creating that influence. It's a sobering thought to consider that when we leave this life, we're going to be judged according to the works that we did in this life. It's even more sobering to me to think that we're not only going to be judged on what we did while we were here, but also the impact we had on subsequent generations, for good or for bad. As a soul tonight dwelling in this earthly body that is passing away, what is your status before God? If you left earth life tonight, how would you stand in judgment? Can we say with Paul, as he says in Philippians 3, 7 through 9, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." So can we be like Paul and say, all these things I have, all this I've accomplished, whatever I've done, I wanted to give it all up and consider it as loss or as rubbish if I can be pleasing to God? If you're not a child of God this evening, we'd urge you to take steps that's necessary to become one of his children. If you already believe that Christ is the Son of God and he's the only source of salvation, we'd encourage you to repent of sins in your life, confess that you believe in Christ, and be baptized, remission of your sins with a commitment to live your life faithfully for him. If you are a Christian, you've been unfaithful, you need to correct things, and at any moment we can leave this life and you would be leaving unprepared. Correct that by asking for God's forgiveness if you lived a lifestyle that's sinful. If it's things done in a public way, it's very appropriate that you come before your brothers and sisters and let them know, as well as God, that you want to make that change. If we can help you with anything this evening, please come forward as we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever things are ready. Come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation. Come who salvation for whosoever will. You're now dismissed to your classes.